Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Coach Andrea and I, and we are talking about how to progress in your training. I think this is a very important topic because your progression and the way we approach this, the way we approach our, again, pushing ourselves in the gym, making sure that we're doing more over time is such an important part of making progress. It's super easy to go into the gym and like, hey, I have a training program. I have like 3 sets of 8 to 12 or whatever it is, and kind of be stuck in the same place for a very long time. So I think this is an important and underrated topic, to make sure that you're getting as much as possible out of your training and you are building muscle. I know this is a huge thing we focus on with our clients as well, and really educating and even like reviewing logbooks and making sure that that progression over time is happening. Before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of the topic, anything else you want
This
to
is also what makes training fun because
add?
with hypertrophy training, we're not really changing things up very much. And so, if you're just going in and using the same weight for a really long time, it can get pretty monotonous and boring. But whenever you're trying to add a rep or PR on something, that is what makes it really fun and exciting and like gives you the nerves before you go in for a big leg day. So, I think that this is really important for a lot of different reasons.
And I think it's easy to like, I want a different movement because I want a new challenge on board with this. Where a lot of times, like, if the goal is to build as much muscle as possible, it's very helpful to shift your mindset to the challenge, the new thing I'm doing that I haven't done before is like more weight or more reps on this movement than I've ever done before, with better execution than I've ever done before. So, of course, a lot of progressing over time is we're basically talking about progressive overload here. So first, can you kind of define progressive overload for us?
Yeah, progressive overload is just making your training harder over time. It's increasing the training stimulus and increasing mechanical tension because if we are, like I said, if you're just going in and doing the same thing over time, then very quickly your body's going to adapt. And then that is no longer going to be a good stimulus for you to really change. Like you can maintain muscle, which is great, but if you're not pushing to add stimulus over time, then your body's not going to change past a certain point, which is why you'll see people that start resistance training with sort of like a HIIT style circuit something, and they'll see a little bit of change at first, but then very quickly they've adapted, and then from that point forward, they're not really seeing any change in their body.
That's a great point. I think in like modalities like that, it is a lot, especially like in a lot of classes, there's a lot less focus on progression. Whereas again, like in that first month, you might see a good bit more change because it is still a new stimulus to you. But like progressing that over time is also an important part of your continued progress. So when we're talking about progression, I can think of a couple different ways, like, or almost a couple different types of progression. What would you say are the primary types of progression that we could focus on?
The first one is going to be weight or load. So adding pounds to the bar or the machine over time, or adding reps over time. So this is usually what we're focused on when we're talking about strength training or hypertrophy training, with especially metric-based lifts, which we'll get into. We want to over time, say, go from 100 pounds on the hack squat to 200 pounds on the hack squat. And that time, if you're adding that load, then you're going to be, that's progression. But that's usually where, like, that's the only thing that people think of whenever they think of progressive overload. There's also going to be improvements in form. So if you are doing an RDL and all of it is in your low back and you're fatiguing in maybe like the upper back, and that's what's making you put the bar down. But then you improve your form, your setup, your execution over time, and now your glutes and hamstrings are doing the work and they're the thing that's going to fail. Then that's also a very important form of progression. Tempo is another one. So this is something that we can use to kind of bridge whenever we're not able to add load just yet. We can really slow down that tempo on the eccentric or add a pause. Control in a movement is another big one. So a lot of times you'll see people, especially in something like a row, they're generating some momentum, or in pressing. They're kind of getting that little bit of a bounce out of the bottom. And mm-hmm. so if we can improve control and we're maintaining more tension through the entire movement, especially through those transition points, then you're going to progress from that versus just, I'm going to move this weight from point A to point B like it's a strength lift. And then the last one, which honestly is not a big focus in hypertrophy training, is work density. So you're doing the same amount of work in less time. So you're reducing rest times and getting it all done faster. But with hypertrophy training, like that technically is a way that you can monitor improvement. But with hypertrophy training, with wanting to build muscle, we're not really going to focus on that. We're going to keep rest times the same and just progress in these other ways so that you can add muscle rather than focusing on like the performance of it time-wise.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, so basically to sum that up, we have weight or load. And again, which is typically, I would say weight slash load slash and reps, right? So basically think, okay, if we're doing six reps and we go from 110 to 120 on the bar, okay, we've added progressive overload. If we were doing 110 for six reps and now we went to seven reps or eight reps, okay, that's another form of progressive overload. If it was, hey, we weren't executing this movement very well, right? That RDL, if we weren't really hinging well, there was more tension on our low back versus our glutes and hamstrings, even if we're doing the same weight for the same reps, if we execute that movement better, we're getting a better stimulus. That's another form of progressive overload, a larger stimulus than before. This is all about increasing the stimulus. And again, there's going to be many ways to do that. Tempo. And I think this, again, like slowing down the eccentric or the pause on the hardest part of the lift, I think to it, there's a degree to which that won't necessarily any longer be helpful, right? If you have like a good like 3 to 4 second eccentric on a movement, I don't think that like us going to, okay, suddenly it's 8 seconds will really be more beneficial for muscle growth. So there definitely is a threshold to that. But
yeah,
if we weren't doing it in a controlled manner, and we are now, we'll be more effective. And I think those are going to be the most important ones when we're talking about hypertrophy training specifically. So I know that progression is going to look different for different movements, kind of depending on if this is a compound movement versus an isolation movement. Can you kind of talk us through that and what we should expect there?
Yes, I get a lot of questions on this because, so for our clients, we'll have people track metric-based lifts. And so what we're doing is going through each of the training days and picking out one or two of the compound movements that are going to be most impactful for the muscle groups that they want to build and labeling those as metric-based lifts. And that's something that we want to flag as this is a movement where we want to see load go up over time. Specifically. And also, you need to remember if your load is going up over time and let us know week to week, these are going up or these have stalled. So those metric-based movements are metric-based because of that focus on the progression of load versus those other things that I mentioned. A lot of times people will think that at some point the load that you're lifting is going to start to feel light and easy. And okay, now I know I can go up in weight. But really with compound movements like that, whether you are at 90% of your, let's say 10 rep max, and you're aiming to lift it 10 times, or you're at 70% of your 10 rep max, that's always going to feel heavy and it's always going to feel difficult. So with progressing these movements, you kind of have to force that progression and really push extremely hard to add a rep or add some weight there. And most of the time that you go up in weight on those kind of movements, you're not going to feel necessarily ready for it. And yeah. I kind of hesitate saying that because I don't want this to sound like, okay, your form is getting sloppy, and so we're just going to slap some more load on there.
Right.
We're keeping form solid always through the entire set. And once you really start to lose form, then we're calling that like, that's your failure point. But right. At some point, let's say you're on the hack squat machine and doing 150 pounds and you're struggling to get 9 or 10. If you want to bump that up, you're like, that's always going to feel hard regardless of if you add load or not. So at some point, if you get stuck on those 9 or 10, where you're not able to get that 11th rep, you might need to just go ahead and add 5 or 10 pounds and start progressing on that. That's going to knock you down to say 7-8 reps, and then you can work on progressing that. Does that make sense?
No, I think that makes complete sense. And it's important to understand you won't progress every single week, right? And that's, on the same token, I think it's easy to think that like, you don't need to increase the stimulus every single week, right? There will be weeks or multiple weeks, or depending on how advanced you are, sometimes there'll be months where, hey, something hasn't progressed in weight or reps. Most people aren't going to be advanced enough yet to where it's like truly like you can't continue to progress within like a couple of weeks, right? But there will be times where, again, things will stall and we are still provided an adequate stimulus if you're truly pushing hard enough. But it might take a couple of weeks before we can progress more. But as you're saying, like we're not doing this at the cost of like your technique is breaking down. But on the flip side, there will be a lot of times where it's like you said on the hack squat, like that 10th rep was really, really hard. You might have to just, okay, I've been stuck here. I'm going to go for 11 and see what happens. And most of the time you'll be surprised with, oh, wow, I could actually do a little bit more. But I think both of those make sense. So with single joint movements, we talked about compound movements. What about single joint movements? How do we approach this?
Yeah, well, just to go back to the compound movements for a second, talking about how to kind of try and systemize that over time. So a lot of times we'll have a rep range that we're aiming for. So 3 sets, 8 to 15 reps, as an example. What you would want to do there is aim for a weight where you're going to fail at 8. So the lower end of the rep range. Keep going. If you get to 8, like aim for that, but keep going and get as many reps as you can. But let's say for this example's sake, you fail at 8. You're going to continue on with that weight until you get to the point where with that same weight, now you're getting up to that 15 area. And that's where you're failing. Then once you're at that top end of the rep range, then you're going to add some more weight. That's going to knock you back down to the bottom of the end of the rep range. And then you keep progressing that new higher weight until you get all the way up. So that's kind of what progression would look like over time, even though that's not going to be linear and how that works out perfectly always. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of like what that would look like, progressing those metric based lifts.
Yeah. And that's why we really like assigning rep ranges like 8 to 12, 10 to 15 versus do 8 reps, because people typically tend to just like stop once they hit 8 reps when that's the case, when there's typically quite a bit more in the tank, and your performance will always vary week to week. Sometimes you have a little bit more in the tank, sometimes a little bit less. So I think rep ranges are much more effective there. Okay. So then talk us through single joint movements. What do those look like?
Single joint movements are just by nature going to be lighter loads. So think like a lateral raise, curl, tricep extension, you're using one muscle. Whereas with a compound movement, you're using 2 or 3 bigger muscles to move the load. So they're going to be, and the overall load is going to be like 10 pounds, 15 pounds on these kind of lifts versus in the hundreds.
Right.
So with these, of course, progress those in that same manner. So you're trying to go for 8 reps and then 10 reps and then 11, just like we would with compound movements. But these don't work out like that. A lot of times I'll have people say, okay, I'm stalled on my lateral raises, and like report that as sort of like the metric based movement. And so we'll talk about how like this is so much different as a progression than one of those metric based movements are. Mm-hmm. So even though you're trying to progress reps just like those bigger compound movements, there's such a much lower ceiling with these. But there's also every jump in weight is a huge percentage jump. So right, when you're going from 10s to 12 and a halfs, if you're lucky enough to have 12 and a half pound weights versus going up to the 15s, that's a 25% jump. Whereas if you look at your hack squat, if you were to make a 25% jump there too, that would feel impossible too.
That's like going from like 400 to 500 pounds.
Exactly. Yeah. You're making huge jumps percentage wise with these littler movements.
Right.
So it's not always going to be possible. I think that those little micro gains plates are great for these kind of movements, because it does make that a little bit more possible. But whenever you're not able to make those big progressions on these kind of movements, that's where we use those other forms of progression to look at how am I still improving on these over time. So with your lateral raises or curls or whatever, you are likely going to see improvements in form. You could see improvements in tempo, controlling the movement better, maybe adding a pause at the top or the bottom of the movement wherever it's harder, versus just every single week I'm trying to add weight or trying to add reps. And even then, there might not be progression on those movements for a while. So you might stick lateral raises with 10 pounds for years and not move that weight up. But you're still getting the good stimulus that you need on your shoulders. So as long as you're going to failure with these movements and you're keeping your form solid, then you're going to be getting the stimulus that you need from these type of movements. And they're not ones where you can really force that progression like you can with the bigger movements, because then your form is going to be off. Like if you try and jump on a lateral raise, there's going to be momentum. You're going to be like swinging your hips into it. There's just all kinds of things that are going to start to be compensations. And then what that means is you're using a heavier load, but you're not actually getting more of that load taken on by your shoulders. Now your hips, your joints are all taking more load, but your shoulders aren't really getting any more of the stimulus, probably less.
Right. Yeah. I think that's such a great point, because that does come up a lot with like delts, triceps, biceps are probably the most common ones that I hear that on, like, hey, this has been stuck at a very similar place for a while, but specifically like lateral raises, I've been on the same weight for months, right? Like I think this is stalled out where it's pretty normal for most of us. And again, it's just like also relative to that muscle, like how much smaller, like your side delt is versus like your lats or your glutes. Again, like a small increment in weight increase relative to the size of the muscle is just going to be a much larger jump. So again, I like the perspective of looking at it, like even like going from 10s to 12 and a half, like this is a 25% increase. Again, that's like going from like squatting with 200 to squatting with 250 on your back, right? That's a huge jump. So again, like just keeping that in mind. So when we hit a plateau, what do we do here?
So whenever you first start a new movement, that's where you're going to see pretty rapid gains in your strength, because you're getting better at the skill of the movements. Neurological adaptation, there's just little adjustments that your body makes week to week, and you are all of a sudden able to use so much more load. So like for me, I've started a new leg press at the gym that I started going to, and I have added over 100 pounds, I think, in the first 3 weeks. And it's not that I've gotten, Cybex squat press. I didn't get that much stronger within that time, unfortunately.
Right.
It felt just as hard the first week. I was pushing myself just as much, but because there is that one neurological adaptation, you really add weight onto the bar rapidly for the first little bit, which is why we don't switch up the movements all the time, right? Because then we would just be getting that neurological adaptation and never really actually get into the muscular adaptation.
Yeah.
But that's a side note on that. But with those lighter isolation movements, biceps, triceps, shoulders, those don't take as much skill, and those aren't going to progress as much over time. So those are ones where you can swap those out more frequently when there isn't progression. But if something is working, so even with lateral raises, bicep curls, if you're getting a great stimulus with those movements, and even though there's not actual weight progression, you get like a great delt pump in it and great stimulus, there's no reason to swap it out, even if it is plateau. But with the larger compound movements, even after that neurological adaptation has like petered out, then you'll still be able to make those small additions in weight week to week, every, you know, even if it's every 2, 3, 4 weeks, you're still able to add a rep or add some weight. You're still going to be progressing on those pretty well. So those, whenever that does start to slow down, if they're, or like I said, with those, if you're still getting a great stimulus, there's not any real reason to sub those things out. But if there is pain in the movement, like there's some sort of restriction in mobility where you're just not able to really get a great stimulus from it, or there's knee pain, something like that. Or there's been multiple weeks where there isn't progression. That's where you might want to swap that movement out, go for something with a similar movement pattern, but something that you can then progress on. So with you, how long do you let that go on with a plateau on a larger compound movement before you sub that out?
It will depend. I think it's more so like oftentimes people like mental fatigue really starts to set in more than it's like, hey, we truly can't progress this. I will oftentimes, if it's like, hey, a movement that we're still getting a good stimulus from, the client is still enjoying, or it really makes a lot of sense for our goals, I will oftentimes like, hey, if we've been sold, well, in this new mesocycle, we're going to change the rep ranges, right? And like approach it with a different rep range. Oftentimes that in itself is enough to kind of break that plateau. And then now if there's like pain, that's again where it's like, hey, well, I want to plug something else in here, or at very least, well, first we'll try to resolve the issue. And then if it's just like, hey, maybe it is just from us consistently like repeating this pattern for so long, then plug in like a slightly different variation of that. But I mean, yeah, I typically, there's no set rule of thumb. It also is going to be dependent on like, is this an exercise the client enjoys? Does it make sense for their goals? And is this a priority muscle group, right? Like sometimes there's a, hey, my pull-ups haven't progressed very much, right? But also for in a building phase, like lats back on a priority for you, we're slowly gaining weight over the time, even like maintaining the amount of pull-ups you can do as you're slowly seeing weight increase, you're actually getting stronger because you're pulling a heavier body weight, right? So I mean, there are a lot of variables there as well.
It also depends heavily on the actual movement and how many options you have for that movement. Like if we're in a home gym, there's not going to be a multitude of different lifts that you could sub in there that are going to be better options than what you already have.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's again, like that's another good point is like, do we have a better option? Right. Do we have an option that makes more sense? But again, it's almost always, I think, like a psychological reason to change versus like a true need to like, we're truly sold out on this.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that was a pretty good summary. Anything else to add there before we wrap it up?
No, not really. I just think overall, looking at your plateaus in the gym as less of a problem or a reason to switch things out, and more so like, how can we look to make some more progression on this? Maybe focusing on how, like what form improvements you could make rather than subbing something out if you see a week or two where the weight's not going up. And really, I think that the thing that has resonated most with my clients talking through this kind of stuff is a lot of times on those bigger compound lifts, sometimes you have to force it and add some more weight, like really just push yourself all the way to where you're failing that very last rep to know that you can add some more there versus, is this truly a stall?
Absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, that is all we have for y'all for today. As always, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you guys next time.